This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. I'm Sharad Kutan with Tan Chung Han and Brian Fernandez in the top business stories of the day. We begin with Moody's. It's kept a Malaysia sovereign rating at A3 and the outlook stable. So, question is, how do they come to this decision?
All right, so one of the key rating drivers here is Malaysia's government debt. So Moody's expects that to remain high, but broadly stable. Okay, just to give you some numbers here, Malaysia's public debt was at just under 51% of GDP as of June 2017. So we are about 10 percentage points higher than the median for other A-rated countries. Okay, but to be fair, that ratio of 50.9%, to be exact, below 51%. Now, that is considerably lower than what we have seen in recent years, and it is far below Malaysia's self-imposed cap of 55% of GDP.
Yeah, so also let's focus on Malaysia's fiscal debt or deficit. On one hand, the fiscal deficit has more than halved since 2010 and expected to hit 2.8% of GDP next year. But here's what Moody says. Further fiscal consolidation will be limited if there aren't any more meaningful ways of raising revenue. So there's a revenue issue. So guess what? Taxes are in store, potentially. But because Malaysia has a much narrower revenue base than its peers who have the same A rating, government's revenue as a share of GDP as well has been falling. So what does this all mean? It means that Malaysia's ability to pay off its debt is weaker compared to our peers. And here's an interesting stat. Malaysia's interest payments account for, wait for this, 12.5% of revenues in 2016, which is more than double of our peers.
Yeah, I think our peers is like 5.6% of the revenues goes towards these interest payments. But okay, look, it's not all doom and gloom, okay? Because when you look at the debt levels for Malaysia's government, although it's high, a lot of it is still in ringgit terms, okay? So it's less exposed to forex movements. Now, at the end of last year, okay, only 3.6% of Malaysia's direct government debt that was denominated in foreign currency, the rest in ringgit. Okay, now, on top of that, you've got a significant proportion of domestic local currency debt that is held by large investors, pension funds, EPF, Co-op, etc. So these are some key mitigating factors, according to Moody's.
Yeah, so essentially, we very much mirror Japan, where most of the government debt is held locally and in local currency. So that, as you said, mitigates quite a significant amount of risk.
So what about the objective of a balanced budget by 2020, especially in view of the high debt levels and the fall in government revenue?
Well, Moody's doesn't quite see that happening by 2020. It's more a case of making sure that the economy continues to grow rather than being able to significantly raise government revenue. So that's because fiscal deficit is measured as a share of GDP. To be fair, however, even the Prime Minister himself has given himself some wriggle room based on comments made in 2015. Balanced budget while still the goal, but come 2020, the Putrajaya now says it hopes to achieve a near balanced budget.
So now Moody's also saying that Malaysia's prospects for growth are healthy and that we have a very high level of resilience.
All right, so Moody says Malaysia has a well-diversified economy, you know, and they foresee robust growth because Malaysia is one of the fastest growing A-rated economies. We are surpassed only by China. Actually, you got Ireland who just got bumped up to A2. We are in A3, okay? So you can say that, you know, we have weathered some external risks. For example, the fall in commodity and oil prices. Also, what Moody has described as a tumultuous political climate. So, you know, in their views, you know, we can take some hits here.
Yeah, but there's still some risk, including high household debt, which is still among the highest in the region. Although, to be fair, household debt levels have dropped by 4 percentage points to below 85% of GDP in the first three quarters of the year. Another challenge for Malaysia: increase productivity. to avoid the middle income trap.
Yeah, other risks to look forward to or to look out for. You've got
look forward.
Yeah,
to.
Sorry,
what? Freudian slip. <Yeah, I know. laughs>
Well, anyways, so you got foreign investors. Look, they are quite active in the financial markets here in Malaysia. So you got to look out for capital flows, especially outflows. Okay, or the risk thereof. You also got to look at international reserves because yesterday, Bank Negara announced our foreign reserves. They have made further gains now above that 100 billion US dollar mark. We have come a long ways now. So in the last 2 weeks of last month, up nearly 0.4% to almost 102 billion US dollars. But in Moody's eyes, now if you factor in the short-term debt, medium-term debt, long-term debt, it's not quite enough. So we still got to build up our international reserves. Real quick, international reserves are seen like this bullet, you know, this arsenal that you can fend off, you know, from currency speculations, etc., that you can use to defend your currency. At the same time, we have got other mitigating factors as well. Again, institutional investors here in Malaysia, a current account surplus, you know, those kind of stuff.
Okay. The Tan Chung Han, always interested in a bit of drama. He wants a bit of drama. He wants a tumult.
Radio is all about presentation, man. Come on.
Okay. So there's that rosy outlook, you know, the caveats included at a macro level. But the question is whether it's all trickling down to the average Malaysian and what kind of barometers do we have? Well, we have on hand a retail group Malaysia. Asia, retail saw disappointing sales in third quarter this year. So what does that signal?
Well, retail sales between July and September fell by 1.1% year on year. And that's a stark contrast to the near 4.9% growth in the second quarter. Now, so keep in mind, this data is for hypermarkets, department stores, fashion retail and other specialty stores who give their data directly to Retail Group Malaysia.
All right, so 1.1% contraction, you know, that is in line with the decline in the consumer sentiment index to 77.1 versus the 80.7 in the previous quarter. Yeah, we are a bit pessimistic, Malaysians. So that number, decline of 1.1%, okay, that actually just flies in the face of RGM's forecast for that quarter. They expected 4% growth. We saw contraction 1.1%. Also, you got the Malaysian Retailers Association. They also expected to see higher retail sales, almost 3% growth. Again, they were disappointed, right? So that is also in contrast to what we saw with headline GDP, 6.2% growth in the third quarter. Well, obviously, that's not reflected in retail sales.
Okay, I'm going to ask you, Han, the next question, because you are Mr. Silver Lining. Is there a silver lining?
Yes, there is. Really. So Malaysians are still taking care of our personal hygiene and I guess becoming more sanitary. No, thank God for that. Pharmacy and personal care, that subsector grew 6%. Also, specialty stores, there's toy stores, TV shopping channels, etc. Those grew by 6.3%.
You know, personal hygiene is so important when you take public transport. Other people's personal hygiene is so important when you take public transport.
So this is the PSA element of the morning run.
Always pedagogical. Okay, the obvious question here is why? Why is there this decline in sales?
Well, according to Retail Group Malaysia's Managing Director Tan Hai Sin, the majority of consumers did not receive higher take-home pay. There's also the issue of the rising cost of living, which has reduced our purchasing power. There's the Hari Raya effect that happened in the second quarter of this year. With Hari Raya spending wrapping up by end of June, there was lower retail sales in the third quarter.
Yeah, because keep in mind, in the second quarter, okay, retail sales actually grew by almost 5%. Okay, and that was partly due to the timing of Raya. So that balanced out the contractions that we saw in the first and third quarter. Okay, overall, for the first 9 months of this year, retail sales have still grown by almost 2%. So let's look ahead. Okay, this quarter, fourth quarter, they are calling for 4.5% growth, which is 1 percentage point lower than previously expected. So hopefully the school holidays, some good old year-end Christmas shopping, that will support those retailers in Malaysia. Outlook for the year as a whole, 2.2%. That is a third downward revision for the year.
Very quickly, what about the question of the difference between brick-and-mortar store data and the growth of e-commerce?
So essentially, one of the key things is when we had him on the grill, I mentioned that he...
Him being Tan Hai Sin.
He only accounted in their methodology 2% of retail sales were actually attributed to e-commerce. That seemed rather small.
Okay, we're coming up to the top of the hour. We're going to have the news bulletin, and then we'll be back with the opening numbers on the stock market. Stay tuned for more business news and analysis. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.